Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the Players Place.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right. I haven't said that in a long time. Standard. Welcome into the program line. I just forget sometimes. We have a little video issue right now, but Paulie's got it figured out. We just had to reboot a computer, so we are still a radio program.
20 seconds here.
All right, no worries. We are Ben and Woods. Great to be here with you this morning. Ben's very nervous. Don't be nervous. It's fine. You're going to be fine. Quit being such a pee about everything at this company. All right? Nothing's happened to me yet. You know? I'm upset. If I'm upset, I'm going to say I'm upset. Okay? That's it. That's how I roll. And if they don't like it, good luck. That's what I say. I mean it, too. You know that. I mean it.
I get it. You're very authentic. But there are certain...
I'm not authentic. I'm pissed.
There are certain things that you just have to be careful about when you're employed by a large corporation.
Well, if this is what gets me in trouble ultimately and costs me my job, get ready for the lawsuits, my friend. I'm Woodsy, by the way. Paul Reindl's our executive producer, getting himself up on the screen here any second now.
He's up.
Oh, he's up.
Been up.
Let's see. Oh, no, there you go. Now he is up. How you doing, Paulie?
Hey, how are you?
Why did my wife ring the bell on me? Oh, because I called you a P word? Sorry. A ball sack. That's what I'm allowed to say. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
The responsible one of the duo here.
Yeah. Well, or the soft one. I don't know which. I saw this news came out.
Yeah, I immediately shared your outrage. Via text, I already knew, like, yeah, tomorrow's foreplay is going to be an interesting one.
Well, I guess the proper way to do it is this. Welcome to the Odyssey family. Does that make everybody happy?
Go.
We have a new colleague here at Odyssey that our company, Odyssey, is paying real money for, apparently. Not doing this for trade at Joe's Crab Shack, which is about about as high as I would have gone if I was the person in charge of making these decisions. I'd like to welcome Bunny XO to the Odyssey family. Yes, you're right. Who's Bunny XO, Woodsy? Oh, that's Jelly Roll's ex-wife. She now works for Odyssey. Her podcast was bought by Odyssey. Again, if I'm the guy in negotiations, I'm sitting back and I go, okay, I understand there's some mutual interest here. I can offer you $400 in Joe's Crab Shack trade. No? All right, well, see you later. That's it. You know what? I'll throw in a Bubba Gump shrimp hat and lunch for two. And that's as far as I can go. Oh, wait. You want real dollars? Actual human money that I could be paying human beings in our stations across the country? I could get producers extra money. I could get extra producers for top-rated morning shows. I could buy new microphones. I could get new equipment that people could take on and work on their vacation that's better. I could get a table that holds the toaster that's plugged into the wall. I could get a better water machine. I could get a vending machine, just one. I could get all kinds of stuff that could help the guys, that the people, the rank and file of Odyssey every single day. But no. Because you used to bang Jelly Roll, here's a podcast, and here's money that comes with it. So, yeah, I'm not super, super stoked this morning. And Ben goes, dude, please be careful. I go, for what? Why do I have to be careful?
Because it was our CEO that made the announcement yesterday in a company-wide email.
That I didn't know.
I'm guessing she is probably pretty enthused about our new acquisition.
That I didn't know. I did not know that. Okay, I did
was
not know
sent
that it
in
was
an email.
I didn't see that
you
email.
Not read the emails.
No,
from CEO
I saw
of Odyssey.
I saw a press release. That's what I saw. I didn't see any CEO email.
Who did you think hired her?
Well, I don't know. Not the CEO. This makes me feel worse. Yeah. This makes me, I thought it was some, hey, don't worry, I'm a content master. I know exactly what I'm doing.
You thought it was Adam's boss, not Adam's boss's boss's boss.
Honestly, I thought it happened in Odyssey Nashville or something, and like, you know, she's going to be on the platform. I don't know, the CEO actually.
Someone in the upper floors in Philadelphia right
that
now.
That makes it worse.
You know, there's this morning show host at some sports station in San Diego who all of a sudden is questioning your decisions, Madam CEO.
You know, Terry Jones says, Stephen Woods is on a roll. I am on a roll. I'm on a jelly roll, okay? That's what I'm on right now. I saw this news and I went, because it's happened to us before. I mean, since we've been here, I can vividly recall like being in contract negotiations, going to my computer and be like, Odyssey has just signed the former cast of Who's the Boss to come in and for $4 million. Oh, good. Joey Pintaro is going to tell what it was like working with Tony Danza 30 years ago. And I just remember, like, I remember seething and being like, I'm in here fighting tooth and nail. I got people coming after me. I'm putting myself out there, and I got to go listen to Angela and Tony Danza talk about what it was like, in '83. And I just remember like wanting to rip my shirt off.
It's this the way culture has become, where your popularity is all that matters, and you can have a show, you can have a podcast, you can sign a deal like this. I remember hearing the first commercials. It was an Odyssey podcast when we got David Spade and Dana Carvey.
Yes.
Their new podcast. Well, it's not new anymore, but when it was new.
Yep.
And I like those guys, actually.
They're fantastic.
I don't know that I really wanted a podcast, but the whole promo was like, hey, what's up? It's me, David Spade. Yeah, we got a podcast, and I don't know. It should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, not really sure what we're going to do on there, but we'll see you there. And you're just like, I feel like that's every celebrity podcast.
Yeah. Hey, we'll just see where this goes.
Really excited to be here. This can be anything we want it to be.
They do have a shocking lack of a plan sometimes.
Every single one.
Well, listen, to be fair, we did pull a clip from Bunny X's podcast.
Can be fair. I mean, we haven't really listened to it. So
no,
I'm sure there is an audience for it out there. Let's.
Let's see
what we've got.
Let's see.
My husband is ready to date.
He is
reared and ready to go. He's all hopped up on testosterone, let me tell you. And he's ready to go. So he's even started dating, which is great. I love that.
Do you?
So his DMs are open. Go to freaking his Instagram, JillyRoll615, if you don't know, and go send him a DM. Like, you guys, don't be scared. Everybody go hit him up.
Shoot
like,
your shot.
Shoot your mother
Make
shot.
It good.
Shoot your shot.
I have the chills.
I will be the ex-wife, okay? And we'll have a great time.
Just get the Adam like Hawk that? Girl who just sits
who?
There. Like her version of Adam Hawk?
AJ Hawk.
AJ Hawk, I'm sorry, that just sits there and doesn't say anything.
Okay, the podcast is called Dumb Blonde. I want off the ride, man. I just want off the ride. I want off of it. It's and you, just when you think, like, maybe we're getting back to our senses a little bit. No. Here comes Pat McAfee with his record. Here comes Bunny XO. Yeah. Can't wait to see her at the company Christmas party. Should be great.
I would just say that it is a little bit, insulting is not the right word,
no.
But it is. I was upset when you think about it. Like, we as a cluster here in San Diego, I mean, we've had to lay off like a handful of really good, hardworking people.
Correct.
Like two of the best engineers
on the planet.
In the country.
Yes.
Kelly Danick from Traffic. Like,
it's a bummer, man.
We've had to let them go. And then to get an email, hey, everything's great. We're really excited to announce Bunny XO's podcast acquisition. You're like, huh, okay.
Yeah, here's
that's
one.
That's
says,
a tough one.
What's next? Odyssey. Bonnie Blue. Welcome to the gangbang with Bonnie Blue. Look, forget it. So, look, I just had to get it off my chest.
Well, hopefully she brings in a new demographic and audience that helps us make tons of money, and we can invest that money back in our local station.
Yeah.
I think that's the overall plan, right?
I guess. Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the program. That's the Ben and Woods welcome. That's how we do it here. 97.3 The Fan. I'm sure Adam is livid. Probably knowing Adam. Well, hey, you want? Here's your shot. You can clip that and go ahead and send it to the CEO, and I'll be waiting for my pink slip and my phone call, whatever it is later. And you know, we'll see. But man, it's just terrible. It's just a rough. Listen, this isn't even her fault. All of these, and I was joking about who's the boss, but not really. Like it was.
I wasn't sure. I thought maybe that was true.
There was some. Do we not remember? There was some.
Then again, if Alyssa Milano was one of our coworkers, I wouldn't hate that.
That's true. But what was it? There was some. It wasn't. I don't think it was who's the boss, but there was something.
There was something. There was very a show, and I was like, "You're right."
I was like, "Who need? Who asked for this? Nobody needs." Like the cast of Home Improvement reunites, or it was so bad, and they paid money, like real American money, for it. And, really sucked. It really, really sucked. So, and it didn't last. That's the other thing. You know, when is she going to run out of steam? These podcasts all seem like a great idea for a while. You know, that you get all hot and bothered, you get all fired up. I got a podcast. Would that last? 6 episodes? You know, for real. You can only take a viral sensation or being fame adjacent. You can only take it so far.
Well, it's not like Bunny XO was a country music DJ for 10 years,
she
and she met
Jelly Roll
on, at a, you know, a press appearance or something like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't have like this background in broadcasting. It's not like you're
clearly
you're not bringing in an accomplished broadcaster.
It's just tough. It's just tough. It's in an industry where you're constantly going, I hope we're making the right decisions, right? Like constantly. Our whole lives are. Hope the doors are open. Well, we've been through it, man. We have PTSD like crazy because the plug was pulled because people didn't pay their bills. So we showed up to work. We're like, we're not actually a radio station anymore, and we're not going to be. So you constantly lay in bed at night going, is this going to be a sustainable? Oh, what a word for the day. Actually, is this going to be sustainable for our industry? And you question it. You come in, you do the best job you can, but then you see news like this, it makes you want to rip your hair out. You know, your bleached blonde hair. It makes you want to rip it from your head. So that's, just had to get it off my chest.
I mean, sports does it all the time. Like, oh,
all
you've never spoken into a microphone, but you played football or you played baseball.
Here's
or basketball. So we're going to put you in the number one booth for a year and just see how it goes.
See how it goes. It's very,
sometimes it does work.
Sometimes it works.
Some people can do it. Other people, they really struggle.
Yeah, dude, it's really, really, really tough. Really tough scene. So I'm not, I'm just, it's par for the course. This is just the latest one. And it's not just Odyssey, by the way. The dudes across the street, man, they had that guy from The Bachelor doing, the guy with your name, Ben Higgins, was doing a podcast. Nice guy. Really nice guy. But paying that guy 150 times what you, Ben Higgins,
I know,
make,
because I got his checks
check.
Accidentally. Yeah.
That is. Right.
That was like 12 years ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those are the things that make me nuts. Abby Marley turns 8 years old today. That's Gary in the chat, his daughter. So shout out to Abby Marley. You're not going to get that from Bunny XO. I'll tell you that right now.
No, you're not. Happy birthday. Abby.
I want to thank everybody in the chat who chimed in this morning, like Dub J. Ben, great job in the Epic Wings Roundtable and the Anchor Desk last night.
Excellent.
Mr. Versatile. Grazion, Ben quarterbacking on the Roundtable. Elite content, so smooth. I appreciate that.
Are we only reading comments that fillet us,
Sarah,
or are we not?
Ben is the man. I don't know how he does it all. Thank you, everybody.
Oh,
I really appreciate it.
That Paul must have a huge wiener. He is so hot.
Never seen a piece like
I
that.
Love those. Keep those comments rolling, guys.
Yes, thank you very much. But I do have to come clean. Things don't always go as perfectly as I would
seem.
Like. Yeah. And now I'm fortunate because I was anchoring last night. But we do pre-record some of the things on Channel 10. And I am so glad that we were pre-recording the open to our 4 p.m. newscast, and it wasn't live.
Okay, so this was recorded.
This was recorded, but the recording existed, and Paulie got his hands on it. So this was as bad as it's ever been for me.
Oh.
The first story was
about a bold statement.
Was about the license plate reading flock cameras that are around San Diego, which are controversial. And there were protesters yesterday. And for some reason...
Are those the ones that are on top of the streetlights?
I was going to ask you guys this week, why am I reading all these controversies? Is it like red light cameras or is it something different?
No, they just... they read your license plates, okay, and then they send that data to basically law enforcement, who can then quickly scan it and see if there are any outstanding like warrants.
Oh, without seeing you?
Yeah, without seeing you or anything. They just know exactly where you are. Like, oh, we're looking for him. They've got a warrant. He's driving around. Go get him.
How do they decide? Go get her. Oh, is it random?
No, it picks up every car. It picks up your car, too. So there are a few hundred of these around San Diego. So if you've got a car...
Is that new?
Registered. Fairly new. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like...
And it's expensive. They're paying like millions of dollars to this company for this program. Now, the positive benefits...
And I got mad for hiring BunnyXO. We're spending our money on our tax dollars on this?
But they've also recover stolen cars really quickly. Like, you call and report your car stolen. Like, these cameras go, we already got it. We found them. We got them.
All right, so that's good.
You know, they have... I believe, kidnapped children they found, quickly with the license plate reader. So there's absolutely a benefit to it, but there's also a big privacy concern.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you have, obviously, people who are worried about misuse. You've had in other cities, officers stalk their exes using this data that they got access to. So it's both useful and potentially problematic, making it for the perfect news story.
I believe that they call that a slippery slope.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this was me trying to do that story.
Flock cameras are back in the spotlight in San Diego. Today, protesters calling for the city to pull the plug on the technology. This comes amid concerns about privacy and potential misuse by law enforcement. The cameras are primarily used to capture and track license plates. Those plates are logged into a database police can search in order to find suspects connected to a crime. The group ICE out of San Diego is demanding the removal of the cameras. They argue the cameras create privacy risks and flock cameras are back in the spotlight in San Diego.
You got to start from the top.
We have to always start from the top. There's no editing on these.
Oh, you were so close.
Yeah, so close.
They argue the cameras.
This is the first one right here.
Yeah, I've edited them now.
And disport.
Ricks. What'd you get so nervous about?
Flock cameras are back in the spotlight in San Diego. They argue the cameras create privacy risks and disproportionately impact vulnerable. Vulnerable.
That's a mouthful.
I probably do.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Rewind it.
No.
Oh, no. Ooh. More. Keep more.
Keeps going.
Do this. Vulnerable. No. Flock cameras are back in the spotlight in San Diego. They argue the cameras create privacy risks and disproportionately impact vulnerable communities. One process.
Oh, you can hear it. He's losing it.
That's Megan.
And how many people are watching?
I can say protesters.
It's just two people in the
never had
and
so
Megan.
Much trouble with one story. All right, take four or five.
Oh my god! By the way, flock cameras are back in the news.
I just stood there for 8 minutes trying to read the same story over and over.
Listen,
again.
And once you biff it once or twice, once you biff it twice, you're done. You're done for. You're absolutely done for. You're I'm not getting this.
Vulnerable.
Can you pull just
flock cameras?
I could not say vulnerable.
I like how he says flock cameras.
Flock cameras.
Flock cameras.
Vulnerable.
Hit by a truck?
I probably do, but I can get through this. Vulnerable. No.
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 You're so good. Yeah, that's how smooth your beloved vulnerable. Ben Higgins is. Ricks, the first one. So first of all, I was hearing you read the copy. That was not the world's easiest copy.
I know it was
a disproportionate risk of vulnerability. I'm like, whoa, dude, settle down.
Flock cameras.
Thoreau, what is happening? It was very...
Disproportionately vulnerable
communities. The cameras are primarily used to capture and track license plates. Those plates are logged into a database police can search in order to find such.
There's a lot of S's.
Yes,
a lot of S's. I can hear like
databases searching.
The group ICE out of San Diego is demanding the removal of the cameras. They argue the cameras create privacy risks and They argue the cameras create privacy risks and
Ricks?
What is Ricks?
Just losing it.
Privacy risks.
A lot of S's in there.
I can listen. It's not just you, by the way. Flubs are like my favorite thing of all time. Like verbal on the news, on the radio, whatever. Or like somebody tripping and falling. It's obviously a big player in my home.
Now,
me choking to death was a huge player.
Vulnerable.
If this was live, I've got to plow through, obviously.
You just fight through it.
You got to fight through it.
Can you acknowledge? Can you be like, oh, risks involved? Or do they want you to just risks?
To do the opposite of what you want me to do.
Really?
They want me to kind of just plow through like I didn't make a mistake.
You mean they don't have like a producer that just turns on their microphone in the middle of your segment?
San Diego is demanding the removal of the cameras. They argue the cameras create privacy risks and disport.
Hey, Ben, what's
Benny,
a risk?
What is a risk, Benny?
Ben, by the way,
Kimberly Hunt's just like, what is a risk, Benny?
Ben, what is
That's legendary.
That would be actually really funny if you guys all just embrace the flubs and like if Megan Perry was like
Mud and Don.
Hey, I don't want to be too vulnerable here as I do the weather. Like that would be hilarious.
Hey, if you're going outside, there's a big heat ricks outside. It's gonna be very hot, and you may be vulnerable too. Sunburn.
That's so excellent.
Well, thank you for bringing those in.
And the good news is I will
flock cameras
anchoring again tonight. So,
oh, good.
And usually by Friday, not long week Friday at the end, there's a massive potential for flubs at the end of my week.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, we'll take a break now, and we should talk about what's kind of the biggest story on Twitter yesterday. Certainly, I know I got in the mix a little bit, got a lot of reaction. Let's see. Rob says, the show that's on before you guys mentioned me in a segment this morning. Great. Can't wait to hear what that is. Is that Drake Toll?
Yeah. Drake Toll mentioned you. I didn't hear it.
I wonder what he said.
All right. We will talk about what the controversy involving that team up north that Woodsy stepped into on social media yesterday, calling out some of the biggest names in our game in baseball journalism as well. We'll get to that. We'll set the menu for the Friday edition of Ben and Woods. We are broadcasting live from our Bill House studios, We Know How, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, no athlete gets to the highest level alone. There's always a coach, always a strategy. Retirement shouldn't be any different. Trying to navigate market swings, inflation, and healthcare costs on your own can be overwhelming. You know, there are a lot of risks out there.
Risks.
Especially with everything changing so fast. That's where Trajan Wealth comes in. TRAJANWealth.com. Their fiduciary advisors take the time to understand your goals, your risk tolerance, and your timeline. They're independent, so they're not locked into one product or one approach. Everything is customized. Trajan Wealth is local with offices in Carlsbad, Liberty Station, and Escondido, and they work with people who want confidence and not constant worry. So if you've got an old 401k or investments you haven't looked at in years, this is the nudge you're looking for. Start by calling 1-855-TRAJAN1. That's 1-855-TRAJAN1, or just take a few minutes online at TRAJANWealth.com. Trajan Wealth, plan smarter, dream bigger. Advisory services through Trajan Wealth, LLC. Additional services through Trajan Estate and Trajan Tax. Actual client, paid advertisement, additional disclosures at TrajanWealth.com.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. It was an off day for your San Diego Padres. In fact, really, none of the teams that the Padres are battling for in the playoffs played yesterday either. So kind of just a
dead, like a dead day.
Just a little dead day. With 34 games left in the season,
oh my God.
Chance to catch your breath, and then once again, back at it tonight as the Padres return home for a City Connect Friday at home against the Minnesota Twins, first of the three-game series at 6:40 tonight, as the Padres will send, I believe, Casey Mize to the mound against Connor Prelip of the Minnesota Twins to start a six-game homestand that will also see the Pittsburgh Pirates coming to town Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
I hope he's Connor Fatlip when we get done with him.
Ooh.
Like that?
That would be
you
nice.
Mean, is it Casey Mize?
Is it not Casey Mize?
I had Randy Vasquez listed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Casey Mize is going
Mize tomorrow.
But right.
I didn't know if they were maybe skipping Vasquez.
No, you're right. No. It's a Randy Vasquez TBD day. So you're right. Tomorrow is Casey Mize against Dean Kramer.
I put a question mark on our rundown when it's Randy Vasquez days because, I mean, will there be an opener? Yeah. Is it Kyle Hart, Wandy? I have no idea.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow. Casey Mize tonight is the Randy Vasquez day, and the Padres would like to get off to a good start. As we talked about in the roundtable yesterday, you need a good homestand. It's okay to have a 500 road trip, and as Tony, I think, pointed out, the last three road trips have all ended up right at 500.
Yeah.
They needed to bounce back with that sweep of the Marlins out of the All-Star break just to get to 500, but they did. And then they split just the four with the Arizona Diamondbacks, so technically a 2-2 road trip. And now a 3-3 road trip to Cleveland and then New York this last week. You win 500 on the road over the course of the season, you're doing just fine.
100%.
But you got to take care of business at home.
Got to take care of business at home. I thought Tony Gwynn Jr. yesterday on the roundtable was excellent.
He was, wasn't
he?
He
gave me a nugget I have never heard of, I have never noticed, and I've thought about it most of the day yesterday. If you missed it, Paulie, he was talking about, we of course got into the game where
Monday's game.
Yeah, Monday's game where Bob Henley and the Sens and everything else, and I don't know what sparked the convo, but he essentially was talking about third base coaches and the varying styles that they have, and he said, a good outfielder knows who the third base coach is and will read the third base coach as he's fielding a ball for what to do with the baseball and where to go. He will shoot him the flash look. So if you've got the real demonstrative, go, go, go.
Which I think I always assumed was the best way to do it. Like,
same.
Hey,
be loud, let him see you.
Be as visible as you can. You want that guy
running around third
to see that send as clearly as possible so there's no ambiguity at all. So I'm assuming, hey, get into it, man. Big old windmill if you're sending
flan,
a guy
like
home.
Flan, bro.
Yeah. Versus just like holding it to your chest and go.
So
go,
he's
go,
like,
go, go,
he
go,
said
go,
that
go,
Bob
go.
Henley's style is one, and he does this intentionally where he's like, go, go, go.
Just with your finger, like a little finger, yeah, just like
a tiny little. Yep, just so that go, the, go. The if it means a 1 second hesitation, a 1 second brain freeze of where am I going? Am I for sure going home? Doesn't look like he's going home. Maybe I can get this dude at second. Maybe he throws to the wrong guy, the wrong base. We see it happen all the time in baseball. Guys throw to the wrong base. But I listened to that from Tony Gwynn Jr., and my head was like exploded.
That's interesting from the outfielder's perspective,
too. Of course.
Because I would have just thought, I think we all would have just thought, oh, okay, let's say I'm playing right field. Runner on second, like I'm heading at least towards my cutoff.
Yeah,
right.
My first baseman.
And
then
he's either going to catch it or it's going to go through and there's a play at the plate. But like that's up to the first baseman to decide. I would never even have thought to look at the third base coach.
Tony says it's obviously something that the good outfielders have the ability to do. And maybe it does. Maybe that's why they get distracted sometimes. And they, you know, because you do see it. You see it at all levels. The head comes up before the ball is caught to throw because you're anticipating a move. But the good outfielders, Paulie, on a hit out to the outfield, he is looking at third, and he's like, I see nothing. He's not sending this guy. And maybe you get one half step. Maybe you get one extra beat, and you get that run. And I just thought it was so cool and so inside baseball that I just go, it's unbelievable. Now, it doesn't work at any level really other than the big leagues and maybe college because – If I'm teaching my 8-year old, don't teach. Hey, shoot a flash look to the third base coach, and then like they're like, no,
right?
They have no idea. Get the ball, hit your cutoff man. That's all I need you to do, and then we'll figure it out from there. But at that level, it's just another thing that I had no idea.
Those little inside baseball,
the little tricks and little nuggets is my favorite.
I know it's a movie, but I was immediately thinking, as you're explaining that story, I started thinking about Field of Dreams when he's explaining to the little girl, like, look how Shoeless Joe, he's already backpedaling because he can see the angle of the bat and he already knows, all right, this is probably coming this way and stuff like that.
100%. The little reads and tricks. I couldn't get enough of it. And then we talked about, he did such a great job too on the broadcast Monday of talking about Robert Stock and the pretty incredible advantage he was getting by not being engaged with the rubber. So if, for those that don't know, there's the pitching, what does Mudd call it? The pitcher's plate. And you have to be against the rubber. Your foot's got to be engaged with it. So Bob Stock was way out in front of it and he was getting the funkiest angle and nobody was calling him on it except for Souza, Toddy. Everyone's going, hey man, like his foot's got to be engaged. And we just saw this with, I want to say it was Zach Wheeler got called out for it as well. He also gives it like the little nudge in front. Now, literally,
they remember the Carter Capps controversy where he would do a hop one step and then throw from like a foot in front of the rubber. And they were letting him get away with it for a while.
It was like, we can't tell if he's breaking any rules.
Talking about starting like 3 inches in front of the pitcher's
plate. Every little leaguer is 6 inches in front of the rubber. And as a coach, you're like, I mean, who doesn't want 6 extra inches on their fastball or really anything else in their life? Who doesn't want that? Like, if I can get 6 inches closer to the plate and throw, my 68 might look like 69. You just never know. So at the big league level, to have Stock so far off the rubber and up kind of down the slope of the mound to get a funky angle, Tony noticed it right away. Toddy noticed it. Susan noticed it. It was great. Having him on there to give those, and you know he knows every one of those little inside tips, man. Like from his dad, you know his dad was probably like, hey, watch what this guy does with his glove. That means he's going to do this. I mean, I can't get enough of it. So
it's also a reminder about just the insane number of things like the coaching staff has to be on the lookout for in the course of a major league game to point that out. If the umpires aren't noticing, then the other team is like, hey, you got to call it on this guy. And Tony even mentioned like when there was nobody on base, the umpires are far away. Like they're standing on the outfield grass, so they can't really see where the pitcher's foot is exactly in relation to the pitcher's rubber. But then when someone's on base and they're up tight, Stock would move back and make sure that they could see that he was in conformity with the rules.
It's so really good, it's man.
They are always looking for the tiniest, most subtle edges that they can find.
And the fact that they get them is the one that makes you go, all right. And it's actually kind of defeating. Because I never really pick up anything like that. I never really have. I think I got one guy's tell in my whole life. You know what he did? He still struck me out. Like that means he's going to throw a splitter. I can't hit a splitter. Well, maybe don't swing at it.
Like even when just guessing a pitch is that alone is hard enough. And when you're like up to bat, you're like, all right, 1-2. I'm thinking curveball. And he throws a curveball and you hit it. You're like, I feel really good about that.
Look at me.
But
I'm Ty Cobb.
As far as picking up like signs and tells and stuff
so
like that.
Hard, man.
So bad.
There's a different breed of baseball player and I'm not it. And he is. And that's why it's nice to have him on there for things like that. But I think the obviously a big series. They're all big series. Ben, who do the Diamondbacks have? Reds?
The Diamondbacks are playing.
Check your notes. Probably in your notes.
I had it in my notes.
I know you
yes,
did.
I do.
Because you did it on the round table.
D-backs are hosting the Reds and then the Cubs. And the Phillies are hosting the Cardinals, then visit the Mariners this week. So
that's what we'll be looking forward to, trying to find a way to beat, what's his name?
Connor Prelip.
Prelip. Get him tonight.
All right. Let's set the menu for the program. First, baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. 7 o'clock hour after we have our Don't Do This segment, we will be joined by Darren Smith, our friend from the Padres Friar Territory podcast, as well as our SDFC broadcaster, who's got a game tomorrow night at Snapdragon Stadium against the Colorado Rapids coming to town. So we'll talk baseball and soccer with Darren. And then in our 8 o'clock hour after we play Take on Woods, it is the SDCCU Management Report. It's not big bank banking, it is better. We will be joined by Padres assistant manager, general manager, Josh Stein, updating on everything post-trade deadline, injuries, the new draft picks in the minor leagues. We'll talk with Steiner coming up at 8:40 this morning.
And then how Joe Musgrove is doing.
I mean, Woodsy already kind of broke the news yesterday. According to his sources, they're targeting the Pittsburgh Pirates series.
Says my source.
Which would likely mean Wednesday, I would think, for Joe's return to the mound. Now, that's always up in the air based on how he feels. Gotta throw well in whatever his next assignment is, presumably tonight, either for Triple A El Paso or Double A San Antonio. But if he comes through that, then you would think he'd be on track to throw Wednesday on the big league level for the first time in nearly 2 years. But we'll ask Josh Stein, where's Joe at? Where is he going to be tonight? And what's the plan going forward? That is coming up at 8:40, 9 o'clock hour, Rindle Report. We also just had a big announcement from the San Diego Seals that we can get into as well.
Yep.
In our 9 o'clock hour, and then get you ready for the series against the Minnesota Twins.
Just give you guys a little update on our yesterday guest that went dark on us. That was Eno Saris, and he's fine. He's fine. He was sick. He said sick as a dog.
Texted me about an hour after the show ended, and he goes, "I am so sorry. I'm sick as a dog." I said, "Dude, all good. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah,
rest up, take your time." And he actually did text me. He goes, "I could probably do tomorrow." And I go, "Well, I'm not going to plan for that or bother you about it because you're sick. Like, if you wake up and you're like, I feel 100% better, I'd love to come on, text me. But other than that, we'll catch him next Thursday."
Yeah, fair enough. For sure. And no, please do not lump Eno into the other terrified journalists that are afraid to write about the Dodger scandal. I got an email yesterday that said, "Man, this is getting weird, Woodsy. I saw your tweet." So yesterday, and it is weird. I'm sorry. If you, a Dodger fan, hears this and you get pissy, you have to admit. You have to admit. Okay, let's set the stage on where we are in the baseball season. Exciting time in the baseball season? Not exciting time in the baseball season.
Exciting time.
How many games left?
34.
Three of the biggest names in the sport of baseball. Ken Rosenthal hadn't tweeted in a week.
Let's talk about this tweet that got nearly 2,000 likes, Woods. It's got some traction and may have even sparked some action from one of the three that you mentioned. We'll talk about it right after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we are back. That was easy.
Thank you, Fawn.
Is that one name? Is he like a one-name traffic artist, like Cher? Or is his name Fonseca, like Fonseca?
Because every time he says that, I'm like, Vaughn? And then he says, Fawn. Fonseca.
Not sure.
I don't know. He's not in the building, so I have no idea. I don't know where he is. He could be in Davenport, Iowa. I have no earthly idea.
So
I do know Bunny XL has a podcast, though. I know that.
Here's what Woods tweeted yesterday. Maybe something happens. Maybe it doesn't. But you can't deny that it's incredibly weird that Ken and Jeff and Bob, tweets about the Dodgers more than their beat writers, have not said a single word about anything related to the latest financial scandal
and even
in MLB.
Even more strange, Ken Rosenthal's last tweet, you guys, period, was on August 15th, which, by the way, is when all this stuff broke. Ken Rosenthal,
maybe he's on summer vacation.
In the middle of a pennant race? I hope he took his equipment. Dude, I was at the Four Seasons. There was a firewall. I couldn't do anything. Bro.
Yeah, I was like, well, maybe he's not super active.
He's very active.
That, August 14th, August 13th, August 13th.
It was a Dodger story.
August 10th. So August, definitely active.
August 14th, he is at Dodger Stadium. August 13th, he is doing a Friar Territory with Alana Rizzo. I mean, you couldn't be more in bed with this team. Then August 15th, he tweets out the picture of his bow tie, and that he has gone radio silent since then. Okay? So nothing from one of the top baseball writers in on the... Tell me that's not weird. And does it even feel tinfoil hat at all, or is that just weird?
No, that's weird.
It's weird. So then Passan sent out a couple of transactional moves. Cade Anderson, my beloved, getting called up by the Seattle Mariners. It's about time. That's really it. He's talking about some transactions that have happened, the Ketel Marte, but nothing about the Dodgers. Nothing. And again, I saw a Dodger fan saying, well, they're not financial writers, guys. They don't have all of the information. Okay, fine. I've seen both of these cats, both of them. When the Padres news broke of they had to take out a loan to cover their payroll, or they're selling the team. Like, you couldn't have been more on it. When Steve Cohen, all of the troubles that the Mets had gotten into before he took over, they were speaking on financial issues as if they worked on Wall Street. Every day it was a Steve Cohen story or it was a Peter Seidler story. Every day. Now nothing. Zero. I'm not saying they're all in a room together going, what do we say? Let's get together. Tell us what to say, Andrew and Mark and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. I don't think that that's happening. It's odd. It's extremely odd that the biggest baseball writers in the world are like, oh, it's just, we spent years telling you how great, smart, savvy, and sustainable this is. Years. We jammed it down your throat. In fact, I have a DM from Jeff Passan from spring training a couple of years ago, chastising me for getting mad at it.
Remember that?
I've got it. I read it yesterday, and I went, well, this aged well. Telling me that I don't understand, and he does, and do some research, all of that.
We were...
Guys, it's weird. I don't care what you say. I don't care who you root for. If you're a Cubs fan, you think this is weird. If you're a Dodger fan, you should think this is weird. It's weird.
Now, in the hours following your tweet, Jeff Passan, a clip of him was posted online, not by him or ESPN, but by Max from John Boy.
Max Manis, yeah.
Who did an interview with Jeff Passan, and he actually got him to talk about the Dodgers scandal
a bit. He did not look comfortable.
He did not.
Mark Walter, the Dodgers, that is like the clickbaitiest baseball topic I've seen on Twitter in quite a while. Explain it to the listeners.
And he does a good job here.
Watch sources tell Jeff Passan on Tuesday.
All right.
Is there anything
to show like that?
What's the bare bones? What's the basics?
Insurance companies have premiums that come in, and those premiums are dollars that always get invested. Mark Walter, who runs the Guggenheim companies and is the owner of the Dodgers as well, was purchasing insurance companies and taking those, you know, proceeds that came in for the insurance contracts. And when you invest those insurance contracts, you can do only a finite amount in other businesses that you own. These insurance companies that were owned by Mark Walter and other people involved with Guggenheim were taking a much larger portion of the money than they were reporting to the government in disclosure documents and reinvesting it back into companies that they owned, like the Los Angeles Dodgers or like the Dodgers television contract and things like that. And so what the government is looking into and what the allegations are saying is that there was self-dealing and potential fraud going on here, and that's what they're looking into. How much cash made its way back to the Dodgers, that we're not quite sure yet, but it was clearly part of this whole financial ecosystem that the Dodgers created.
All right, so this is the best explanation I've gotten about what actually Mark Walter was doing. Makes some sense. When you pay your car insurance premium every year, every month, whatever, they're not just holding on to big piles of money from all of us, like billions of dollars.
Yeah, we understand how investments
They are
work.
Going to invest that so it can also grow for them. Sure. And then they use, you know, sometimes they have to pay out, you know, you get in a car accident, okay, they have to pay out some money. But most of that money is then working for the insurance company.
Sure.
But you're not supposed to use that money to benefit your own businesses at the time. It's just to continue to grow the insurance business.
Correct. Not to grow your
other businesses
on the side that you opened, which money right. came from.
Your baseball team.
So that is what Mark Walter is being investigated for, using that insurance money that all of us are paying in premiums and then funneling it as investments into his own company. Crazy. So he can essentially make money twice on everything. Right.
Yeah, he's double dipping. Yes. He's robbing Peter. Peter's actually, he's not being robbed.
No.
Peter's giving him the money.
Right.
He's supposed to pay Paul, and he does eventually pay Paul, but he's also taking a lot for himself and paying Mike and Tom, you know, and himself. And so that's the thing, man. But Jeff, I've always liked Jeff. I have. I think he's good at what he does. This is a weirdly bad look for all of these guys. Again, I was reading through the DM again, and it's like, bro, they're smarter. They just... And I guess technically, they are, because now it's underhanded. It's actually illegal. And I got another source that told me, like, dude, there's a whistleblower. Like, this guy's in deep, deep, deep trouble. What it means for the Dodgers long term, I have no idea. Probably nothing. I mean, we know how this is going to work. He'll go. We're going to, well, we have gotten rid of the bad actor right. here. And then 17 other rich guys are going to step in and be like, I got a billion on it. You know what I mean? Like,
we'll
they're going to be fine.
We'll make jokes,
sure. Oh, I'm going to
have
fun with it.
But, like, imagine if you owned a Lamborghini and got into some financial trouble and had to sell your Lamborghini.
Right.
It's still a Lamborghini. Like, I don't know that there's anything.
Right.
Anything's going to be changing on the day-to-day operations necessarily.
I mean, it's going to be changing for him.
Yes.
Right? But like, it's going to be changing for him. But it's not going to be changing for them. They'll be fine. They always are. And listen, we all know this to be true. They are Major League Baseball's cash cow, and you do not mess with a cash cow. You don't. You will. If I'm Mark Walters, I'm terrified, because I'm like, number one, there were improprieties. Number two, I've upset the apple cart, and I know that I've put the most apples in this apple cart. They'll just cut me at the throat, and they will scoot me out, and I will go pay my fines and maybe go to jail. I have no idea. Then they're going to make themselves whole, because they still have the golden goose, Shohei Ohtani, who makes money hand over fist. They're not going to upset this apple cart. So any thoughts of vacating World Series or it affecting them at all is not going to happen.
But I will give credit, Jeff Passan, with a good tease for his Tuesday.
Excellent.
His Tuesday drop, whatever that's going to be, sounds like it's going to involve the Dodgers in this investigation.
Check out Dumb Blonde, new podcast on Odyssey by Bunny Exo.
I think she's joining us maybe coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.